The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Learn who rules over you, simplify now till you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, July the 20th, 2026, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled, Apparently, Men Walked on the Moon 57 Years Ago Today. And the time is 10:43 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. By the way, this is the weekly show I plan to record on Wednesday, but I'm recording it now as something has come up for then, but you never know with this show, I might pop back before the scheduled next I'm Talking To You show, which would be a week on Wednesday, so 9 days time. But if something happens and I have the opportunity to bring it to you, then I will. So I haven't got a lot to tell you today, but first up, so hopefully it'll be a shorter show. Hair. What do I mean by hair? Well, I have not had a haircut for a length of time. When COVID happened, and the lockdowns primarily, my hair just grew into a terrible mess, and I looked at videos online. I tried to cut it using YouTube videos, and I made even more of a mess. And afterwards, I'd had my hair long once before when I was writing the book In the Name of Yahweh back in 2010, I think. And it didn't really suit me. But I just thought to myself, I want to grow it to a certain length that when we have another lockdown, which I still remain convinced is going to happen, I thought would have happened long before now, and it got to the stage where I didn't want to cut my hair, because if I got my hair cut, then I think that we'll be heading for another lockdown. So I kind of compromised. 16 months ago I had my last haircut, apart from yesterday, and I just got the guy who I used to go to just cut along the back by my neck, to just cut that off, just straight and not touch anything else. And so the hair, if suddenly we have a lockdown, it just continues to grow and what have you. It's not having it cut all over, and so you really have to have it cut again to maintain its shape and stuff like that. So from being sort of long, it goes to like a bob, if you like. Anyway, I noticed when I got home 16 months ago that one side was longer than the other. So I go back there and some other person in the place sees me. Oh yeah, sorry about that. So they go and do it. And so I get home, wash it and all that, and I notice that the side that was longer than the other is now shorter than the other, so I just gave up. I wouldn't have any hair left if I kept going back. And so since then, I just thought I'm just not going to get my hair cut. And then the other day, I saw a hair somewhere in my flat, and I couldn't believe how long it was. I got my 30-centimetre ruler out, you know, the ones you used to take to school, and it was slightly longer than the ruler. And I've been going to bed, and you end up lying on it. It's uncomfortable. You go to wash it. I feel sorry for people who do have long hair, because it's so difficult to maintain. I just thought, right, I'm just going to have it cut. And I thought about having a proper cut and having, like I used to do, you know, grade 2 on the sides, great, going up to 3 to 4, and then a bit on the top that I can put product in to sort of sweep it back, what have you, that sort of thing, because my hair can be frizzy, so I need something to put in it. And I thought, no, I'll just try again. I'll just get it cut along the bottom. And I go into one hairdresser. It's a Sunday. I don't know about where you are, but in the UK, hairdressers seem to all be closed on a Monday. But it's one open on Sunday. There's like usually four chairs in there. There's only one person working one chair and people sat down waiting. So I'd have been there probably for over an hour. Looked at the hairdresser that got it wrong, you know, making it too short one side, too long the other. They were closed, thankfully. Now, so another place that I'd never seen before, and it was a tiny little place, just their barber. There was one guy in there with his family, didn't speak English, and, it just has a cut along the back, doesn't it? It shouldn't be too much of a problem. And they're all talking to each other in a language I couldn't understand and stuff like that. But, you know, sits me down and then starts to, and then has to go off and do something else. I thought I made a real mistake here. Anyway, cut a long story short, he did it. £15, probably the quickest £15 he ever earned, because you only have to go along. But looking at it in the mirror, he did it perfectly. It's all level. And I'm just going to see if, I suppose it's what they call a bob. It's not a haircut of choice, as it were. It's just, if we have another lockdown, at least if it's growing, it's not going to grow into a real mess. It's just going to get longer. But if I don't like it, then I'll just go and have a proper, decent haircut like I used to have and do that every 6 weeks, a couple of months like I used to do. So apologies if that information was of no interest to you whatsoever. I will say this. You hear stories, obviously, about immigration and rights of indigenous people in a country and all these sorts of things, and it's topics that I've spoken much about over the years. But I mean, I find that many English people that I deal with, I won't talk about hair now, because the other people who did it were, I believe they were Italian, and there was one guy who was French, actually. He was really good. He was the guy I used to see, but I had to drive quite away, because it was when I had to drive quite a way out the way to see, and he's not always there and stuff. But plumbers, let's go from hairdressers to plumbers. I must have got through 5 or 6 plumbers, and they always treat it like they're doing you a favour to come over and do the work. You know what I mean? And then the reason I've got through so many is none of them been any good. And end up going back to one because, you know, well, I suppose he's all right. It's not brilliant. I got someone else in recently, not from the UK, did the best job. Years ago, I had to get a bathroom floor replaced because the people who built this apartment, in their wisdom, decided to put tongue-in-groove flooring in between the supporting joists. So in the end, it invariably was going to crack. So the floor had to be redone. It was about £600 then. Goodness knows what it'd be now, probably at least twice that. I'm recommending a company. I get them in. And they start the work. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. The tiling was not level. The grouting was, it was going across one and then up a bit to the other and stuff like that. It just wasn't in straight lines. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I took loads of photos. I really lost my temper about this. Sent it over to the person whose company it was. Said, this is just crazy. I don't want this guy in my flat again. And the other thing I've noticed, because I'd given him the keys, he'd been there for the day while I was working a full-time job. And I had a table by the telly and there were footprints on my table. He'd been sat on my sofa watching my telly while he's supposed to be working, putting his feet on my bloody table. This layabout. And he was English. Lose my rag with the company. They send someone the following day, a Polish guy. Rips it all up, does it perfectly. End up using him for a variety of other jobs. Great job every time. I'd still be using him today, but he moved away. But I get tired of all these. I remember someone said to me years ago about these, corner shops. And the guy says, well, you wouldn't have shops that were open from that early to that late at night if it was English people running them, because they can't be bothered. And in my experience, I sort of didn't really pay much attention to that. That was something said to me probably late 90s. But when I reflect upon it now, and my own personal experiences, they're very negative. And maybe I've been unlucky. But when you get one after another, you wonder if you're unlucky or if it's the actual trend of how a lot of these people are. So I think it's worth bearing things like this in mind, because sometimes people end up being the architects of their own misfortune. And if they really can't be bothered and their aim is just to get the job done as quick as possible, spend as little time as possible, as little money as possible, charge as much money as possible for it, and that's your business plan, then somebody who just wants to do an honest day's work is invariably going to be better than you are. And unfortunately, these people that I've mentioned, I'm using someone else now, again not English, again Eastern Europe, far better than anyone I've used from this country. Why is it that all these people that are coming in are so much better at what they do than people here? And all I hear is people moaning on these Tommy Robinson marches and stuff like that. Maybe if they expended as much time on their trade as they do on things like this, we would have a better infrastructure in this country and people would have better tradesmen in this country. Okay. What else do I want to talk about? Radio. Yes, radio. Now, there are quite a few radio networks out there. There's, of course, rentsradio.com. Mainly the Jeff Rents Show. I'm on there, but I don't believe there's any sort of archives as such. What you need to do is go to rents.com and scroll down the columnist section. It's either on the left or the right. And you sometimes find free shows that Jeff puts up there. The other networks I could think of were Renegade Broadcasting, but when I last looked at anything on there, it was very anti-Christian. Rather than just avoid the issue, just out and out, we don't like Christians type of vibe I was getting. And when I looked at that again last week, I could see nothing had changed there. So I didn't go do anything more with that. Revolution Radio and Republic Broadcasting Radio. So let's go to Revolution Radio. What I did is they have an archive online. It's revolutionradioarchives.com. And there are so many shows on there. I looked at the last modified section, which is the most, it's the date next to the show title. And if you've got anything over 2 or 3 weeks, then it's probably they're not broadcasting anymore. I gave it a month. If there was anything over a month, I didn't bother downloading any of that. But apart from that, I think I downloaded about 40 shows. So sometimes you get one presenter who presents 2 or 3 different shows. So I just pick one. And if I liked it, then I'd download the others and see what those shows were like, things like that. I just listened to it till I got bored. And Revolution Radio, I've only really used for Inside the Eye Live, which is Dennis Fetcho's show. And I still, funnily enough, I've got that on my phone at the moment to listen to today. And years ago, I said that Dennis Fetcho is the best solo radio show presenter that I'm aware of, and he still is as far as I'm concerned. So if there's any other better than Dennis, then I'm not aware of them doing solo shows. Very engaging for an over 2 hour period. But I checked out a load of others, and it's a bit of a mixed bag. But what if you want to find out more than just the title of the show and when the shows were last put up, you don't go to revolutionradio.com, because that takes you to a very different site, which is what you seem to get if you type just Revolution Radio into Google. I didn't get the Revolution Radio I wanted. I got a more mainstream one. Funny that, isn't it? But they've got their actual radio where you can listen live at freedomslips.net. Freedomslips.net. I've got it wrong. I typed in .com first, just got a blank screen. But freedomslips.net. And I never worked out, what does freedom slips mean? And they'll suddenly realise what, they say it as freedom slips, but what it actually is freedom's lips. Freedom's lips. But you can't have apostrophes in URLs, in website names, so it's freedomslips.net. And you can go in there and you can look at the schedule, but you won't learn much more than the title. So if you go into Revolution Radio, where is it? Why has that not come? Oh, here we are. RevolutionRadioArchives.com. You just get the show title. But if you go to freedomslips.net and then click the schedule tab, then today's schedule, it just gives you the show title and then it says, So, for example, The Way to Freedom and what is hidden to it, it just says with Kevin Kelso. You've got no description of the show anywhere. So it just tells you the host. So there's one name I recognise here, and that is The Right Stuff with Robert Morningstar. I think Robert Morningstar used to be a guest with Jeff Rentz quite frequently. So that's something to look at. Loads of shows on there. And then the other thing, I mentioned Republic Broadcasting. And for that, you go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org. And many of the presenters there I'm familiar with anyway. So what I've done is the ones that I'm not so familiar with, I'm just downloading the first hour of their show, winding through the music, and then just listening to them for a bit until I get bored, and see if there's any that I can find that I can add to my weekly listening repertoire. Because I'm running out of decent people to listen to. And the other things that I was filling it up with, such as listening to audios of programmes like Blackadder or Fawlty Towers, and even listening to the John Cleese commentary of Fawlty Towers and commentaries on film, stuff like that, I've run out of that too, and I'm getting bored of listening to them again. So I'm desperately seeking fresh content. So I've been through, this morning I downloaded the first hour of shows from republicbroadcastingarchives.org that I was unfamiliar with for Saturday and Sunday, and then today I'm going to do that each day from Monday to Friday. There are certain shows, like for example the John Moore show, which is Monday to Friday. I always listen to hours 2 and 3 on a Tuesday because they have the Tuesday morning roundtable, which I enjoy. The first hour is something to do with a LifeWave patch, and that just sounded like an hour of grifting. I'm actually going to download that and just see if I was right or wrong there. And again, you just go forward past the music and then just give it a listen until you get bored. And if you get bored, you don't go back. And if you enjoy it, well, that's something else that you can listen to. And I'm hoping that I don't get bored because I'm looking for new stuff. But someone like John Moore, he has different guests most hours in the week. Sometimes he goes solo, but I'm going to check that out, along with all the other presenters. But of course, if you've got a presenter who is generally solo, and they do a show 5 days a week, and I don't like the first one I hear, I'm unlikely to go and investigate any others unless they maybe suddenly have a guest on, something like that. But I am looking for new content, and that is a little project for this week. So let's hope that I can find something out there that I want to listen to. Okay, so let's see what's happening in the news, or since last week's show, as it were. The main thing, of course, the World Cup wrapped up yesterday, and I believe I was somewhat vindicated in what I said about how anyone of the semi-finalists can win. So let's start off first with England and France, who went out. Now, France were many people's favourite to win, including my friend, who got it right with England getting to the semi-final, what have you. They went out to Spain 2-0. And a lot of the French players I read were complaining about the tactics used, stuff like that. But they were playing so well through the tournament, it could have just been they had an unlucky day. You know? 2-0's not a huge scoreline. And then, of course, England with Argentina. I mean, on paper, they lost 2-1. But they were leading by a goal to nil for most, well, I think they scored just after the start of the second half, something like that. And then Argentina got a couple of late goals, which they've been doing throughout the tournament. And there was all this complaints at Thomas Tuchel, the England manager, who's German, his tactics. Because what he did was, apparently, because I never bother watching the games, he put loads of defenders on. And I thought, yeah, all these people, and then, you know, is this bad tactics and stuff? But of course, he's thinking, look, they always score late goals, so we've put loads of defenders on. Unfortunately, I don't think a one goal is enough. You know, get one goal and then defend like mad against a team like Argentina. I think you needed more of a cushion there before you did that. But at the same time, I can see why he did it. It just didn't work. So again, it's luck of the draw, really. And so that left France and England in this playoff, third place playoff, which is the game famously nobody wants to play in. But funnily enough, and I never thought, teams are known for not really wanting to try in the game. sometimes. But England ended up winning it, and it sounded like they both were up for it at different points. If you look at, you'd have to say France on paper are a better team than England, but I understand England went into the half-time interval 3-0 up. But then France came right back into it. I think they might have even have levelled, something like that. It finished, I believe, 6-4. I've got the report here. People have been talking about it as one of the best games of the tournament. So, now it looks like here that, England got to, I think, 4-0 up, and then France scored three goals, something like that. So France, I don't think, ever got quite level with England. It finished England 6, France 4. But the funny thing is that it is the first World Cup trophy that England have won since 1966. It's not the one they wanted, which is the winner of the World Cup, because you do get a medal for third place, and England have never finished third place. So I just typed into Google, do you get a third place medal in the World Cup? The FIFA World Cup bronze final is the tournament's third place match. It features a matchup between the two losing teams of the semi-final round. The winner of the match takes home the bronze medal, while the loser finishes in fourth place and goes home empty-handed. So, there you go. It's now that I see that England came through, I think more people in England are going to say, well, actually, it was a good match to win after all, especially against a decent opponent like France. So now, if we look over to the final, which was contested yesterday between Spain and Argentina, this ended up being 1-0 after extra time, and Argentina had a player sent off, so they were down 10 men. So, bit of a tough one. But again, when it's 1-0 after extra time, it could still go either way, couldn't it? So it ended up being quite a tight World Cup for these last few teams. I'm not so interested in it. I didn't bother watching any of the games. But in the end, Spain rolled out to be winners. So there you go. Okay, what else have I got here? I think we've just got one item. I haven't found a lot of things in the news of interest. But electric cars. I believe this is electric. There's a best-selling car in China. Certainly it was their most popular model of last year over there. It's called the Galaxy Xingyuan, and they're starting to import it into the UK. But apparently it's going to cost three times more in the UK than it does over in China. And you sort of think to yourself, but it's not costing that much to ship. You know, why is it so much more expensive? I mean, anything new, including cars today, I wouldn't go near because I wouldn't trust all the different tracking and stuff and what have you on it. But three times more than it retails for in China, are you sure? There you go. So that's about all that I saved of a very boring news week. I think that all the politics stuff like that seems to wind up through the summer when they all have their summer recesses and things like that. Not that I really follow politics either. But that's what I've got there. So let's see the next part of the show, which is the Something For You To Listen To section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Moonchild by Rory Gallagher, the third track on his Calling Card album, which was released in October of 1976. This is the only Rory Gallagher track I listened to, and it is fantastic. I had a friend who I used to work with that was a big fan of his, who told me that when Jimi Hendrix was asked what it was like to be the greatest guitarist in the world, he said, "I don't know, ask Rory Gallagher." Okay, so let's move on to film review, doing something a bit different today. Rather than films, I'm going to do an actor. Now, Philip Seymour Hoffman was called by the Independent newspaper in the UK the best actor of the 21st century. He died of a drug-related death, I believe, when he was only in his 40s. And he was probably known to most people as the kid in the court, in what would you call it, a courtroom? It's like a school court in the film Scent of a Woman, where Al Pacino's defending one kid and some other guy's defending the other against... it's a bit of a silly film, to be honest. I think Al Pacino got the Oscar for that as like a career Oscar that Jeremy Irons was talking about. He said that when he got the Oscar for Reversal of Fortune, it was pretty much understood that it wasn't for Reversal of Fortune as it were. It was just one of those years when none of the performances were that good that they can give someone a career Oscar, and that's how he got it for all his other work. And I believe the same was the case of Scent of a Woman, which was, I believe, Philip Seymour Hoffman's first film role. He did get a Best Actor Oscar of his own in a film called Capote, I've got here, and it was about Truman Capote, not the author of In Cold Blood. Not a brilliant film, but a very good acting performance, and he lost a lot of weight to play Truman Capote. The funny thing is when you look at him, he actually looks sort of normal size, but Philip Seymour Hoffman was always on the sort of a bit chubby side. I'm not trying to be rude, I'm just describing that that was how he saw his normal size. And I mean, for me, he actually looks better how he normally looks than he does in Capote, really thin. But that's what he did for that film. And it was, as I say, that was okay, but it's more of an actor study than anything else. The other next film I've got here is Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Now, this is a Sidney Lumet film. Now, Sidney Lumet is a very hit and miss director, in my opinion. He did, he's probably his most famous, is 12 Angry Men. He did Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino. That's not a film I really care for. John Cazale in that. He did a film called Q&A, which I think was designed to instill revulsion at all the different racial epithets that were used in the film. I don't believe I've ever seen a film that had more racial epithets in it than Q&A. It's a very good film, actually. It's got Nick Nolte, Armand Asante and Timothy Hutton. And they're all excellent in the roles that they play, particularly Armand Asante and Nick Nolte. And it's just about police corruption. And for me, it's one of the best films I've ever seen. So if you haven't seen that, I recommend that. But they're the only... that and this film, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, I think they're the only Sidney Lumet films that I actually have. Did he do Network as well? I'm not sure. But again, people rave about that. I found it a bit boring. But this film is just about someone trying to get money, and it goes wrong in the most unimaginable circumstances. It's like a dystopian nightmare, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Philip Seymour Hoffman and Ethan Hawke are the lead actors, and they work really well together. Then we've got Charlie Wilson's War, which is about some weird... was he a congressman or senator, Charlie Wilson? I'd never heard of him apart from this film. Philip Seymour Hoffman tends to look very different in a lot of his films, and in this one he's looking different again with a moustache and stuff. Not my favourite. It's about, very suspect to me, about helping the Mujahideen in Iraq, was it? Stuff like that. It's very confusing. Oh no, it was helping them in Afghanistan and how Charlie Wilson helped bring down the Soviet Empire. Well, again, I'm very sceptical about things like that. But the best acting performance for me of Philip Seymour Hoffman is a film called Doubt, which stars him, Meryl Streep and Amy Adams. And he is just astonishingly good in it. And it's about, he plays a Catholic priest in the 1950s. And he's basically accused of impropriety with a boy. But in the end, the film, you never really know if he was guilty of it or not. So ultimately, you end up creating your own ending as to what was he guilty or wasn't he. So as the watcher of the film, you can sort of judge it for yourself. It's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure book, that type of thing, but you really are choosing how it ended. But the acting performances from everybody concerned is just astonishing. And for me, it is Philip Seymour Hoffman's finest acting performance. So let me take a moment while I cough. Excuse me. Can't seem to get through these days without that. Stopping smoking seems to make you cough for some reason. There you go. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So let's go over to, let's do Associated Press if I can get to the right folder. Here we are. So just waiting for APnews.com. US bombing of Iran expands as American troops killed and Tehran retaliates against the Gulf states. That's the top story there. Let's have a look at the BBC top 10 most read stories at the moment. So just wait for that to load up. Well, the top story at the moment is Keir Starmer about to give final speech as Prime Minister before Andy Burnham takes over. So we're going to have a new Prime Minister today in this country, but Parliament has already dissolved, so he won't be in Parliament, I think, until, I don't think it's till late September that they actually go back to Parliament. So we'll see what he gets up to before then. Number 10, the small seaside town winning big from TV tourism. So let's have a look and see what seaside town that is. I imagine it's somewhere in Portsmouth. Port Divine. Its real name is Donaghadee. So County Down, that's Northern Ireland, I believe. So there's some sort of TV thing going on there. Hope Street, I believe, is the... I know that there was something, was it in Richmond, where there's something filmed there, big US show, and some of the people there get annoyed about it because you get all these extra people turning up just to be photographed at some of the locations. A lot of people are the same in Notting Hill. They get people turning up to be photographed, all these tourists, and this is quite an expensive area, and you just got people outside your house all the time. Number 9, Trump says US strikes hit Iran in honour of American soldiers killed. Number 8, J.D. Vance says wife, Usher and son happy and healthy after birth of fourth child. Number 7, residents told to pay £7,000 each to fix water pipe outside their homes. Wow. Number 6, everyone's afraid to die, struggle to recruit soldiers in Ukraine turns violent. Number 5, victory for football, Spain beat Argentina to win World Cup. Number 4, my fitness tracker knew I was pregnant before I did. Number 3, fire crews battle blaze on Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh. Number 2, prisons minister Lord Timpson quits government. This is quite an interesting guy. What he did, I actually go to these shops because I still wear shoes. Church's Chelsea boots I like. And I have to get them healed and sold every so often. And I used to get lots of different shops doing this, but now that most people are wearing like trainers, things like that, rather than proper shoes, then the market for this has sort of gone. And this is one of the only shops that still does things like that. You might get a few independent ones here and there. But what this guy who ran it, Timpson, I'm not sure what his first name is, Lord apparently, he had a big thing where he would recruit ex-prisoners and train them up to work in the shops, real proper reform prisoners. And as a result of all that work, he was appointed a prisons minister, which I thought was a good idea because at least he's had experience doing that sort of thing with prisoners. So he should have experience with prisons. But I'm not sure, I didn't hear of anything that he did that drew any headlines, so... He's gone anyway, so presumably he doesn't believe that he'll be retained by Andy Burnham, or maybe he thought it was just time to go. And number 1, broadcaster and journalist Edward Sturton dies age 68. So I've heard the name, I probably recognise the face, but yeah, I do recognise the face. He had cancer, so he sadly passed away recently. Let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on. Excuse me, over on that website. Top story, again, live, Starmer to deliver his final speech on the steps of Downing Street before Andy Burnham becomes Prime Minister, live updates. And then, bitter Argentina players turn their backs to Spain's World Cup trophy lift after violence marred winners' celebrations as lip reader reveals what furious star said to Captain Rodri during brawl. So it sounds like a rather ill-tempered affair, that World Cup final yesterday. Oh, here's another one. Exclusive Britain's data centre invasion. Humming warehouses which dwarf the countryside use enough energy to power 10,000 homes and draw on water supplies, and one could be coming next door to you. Yeah. they just turn up then. I remember in my dad getting a letter from the council, probably back in the 80s, and one of the neighbours wanted to build an extension. And so what happens is, anyone affected by that, neighbours, they get a notification from the council in case they want to say, well, I don't want them to build it because it could affect the quality of my property, something like that. But these data centres just seem to be able to just steam in and just get built without any consultation whatsoever. I'm not aware of any. And again, this headline as well, it doesn't seem to indicate that there's any way that you can appeal against it. But they'll still go after people who, like that farmer who built a house inside a barn that nobody could see, that wasn't causing problems for anybody. Again, I ask, what would you prefer? That next door to you, or a data centre that a humming warehouse? And I've heard some stories coming out of America, and everything seems to be on a bigger scale in America, so you'd expect everything to be louder and bigger and that sort of thing. But it's driving people mad. People are trying to move away. They can't sleep. All these different things. It's amazing. And I really think that there's more to these than meets the eye. My conspiratorial mind kicks in. And there are some people even talking about that these are what they're going to inter the people they don't like in, stuff like that. Well, I don't know. That's all I can say. I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand. Because how is it? Have we suddenly seen some change in internet speed? I mean, where's everything being stored at the moment? Do you know what I mean? Where is it all being stored? Why do we suddenly need all these things built all around the world, in every country? There's something going on. And if they need it all to store data, where's the data being stored at the moment? That's what I'd like to know. Why is it not satisfactory at the moment? And again, you wouldn't be building thousands of these things in countries suddenly. You know, it'd go very slowly, incrementally, wouldn't it? Oh, we need a bit more space. We need a bit more space, stuff like that. So I'm very suspicious of whatever's going on over there. Excuse me. Okay, so I think that that's it for the mainstream media. So now let's see the latest from the alternative media. So let's go over. I don't believe I had a look at these earlier today, to be honest with you. So this is going to be news to me too. Let's go to rents.com. Scroll down in the... Oh, actually, while I'm here, the columnist is on the left-hand side. Let's do that quickly, just to see if... So I'm looking... There's three columns, so... The first columnist is Yoichi Shimatsu. So it looks like he's got... These are articles that are here, although he is a regular guest on the show, but I can't see any there. And then we've got Mike Walsh below him. So I can't see any shows here that are put up. These seem to be articles linked to by... Mike Walsh. Father Paul Kramer. Right, first one is the Catholic Church on Life Support. That's got .mp3 at the end, so that is a show that you can listen to. And there's a show beneath that as well, Excommunication of Traditional Catholics? So it's a case of sort of going through. And Mitchell Henderson below that. That's got, that seems to link to, they're all shows. So... Yeah, I'm on 6, 7, 8, yeah, 9. All the 9 links there before you click the more button. They're all free shows that you can download. Then you've got Frosty Waldridge below that. That seems to be all articles from what I can see. So it's a case of working your way down, and you can find different archives there that you can download for free, or you can become a subscriber at rentsradio.com. So let's go back up now to the news, which I seem to have lost. The top story here, headline, let me just check the link first, because if it links to anywhere in Iran or Russia, it's not legal for me to say now in the UK. No, it links to YouTube. It has taken a lot of abuse to get the human species to agree to its own extinction. We live in a hyper-controlled matrix. Great description. So that is a YouTube video. That is the top one, so you can check that out, and there is many other interesting links below that. So let's go from there to halturnerradioshow.com. Top story, reports of ship ablaze in Gulf of Oman near Hormuz Strait. Then we've got Moscow smashes largest logistics centre in Kiev. Now, I saw that headline again yesterday, and it made me think something similar to the data centres. Isn't it interesting how the world seems to be on such a similar path? It's not just us here in the UK that do so much things by mail order, stuff like that. Now, it's happening. It's a worldwide phenomenon going on the internet, buying things by mail order, stuff like that. It's almost as if it's a worldwide program, isn't it? But I ask you to cast your mind back to, yeah, I go over to, like, Turkey was the family's popular holiday destination in the 1980s when I was a teenager. And you go out there and you find stuff out there that you wouldn't find in the UK. And you get your carpets out there, you get your leather jackets and all these different things you go out and get. That was what they were famous for. And that was the start of the counterfeit goods. You could pay £2 for a Lacoste polo shirt. They all seem to be selling the Lacoste polo shirts. And then I went back there a few years later and it's watches and all sorts of stuff now that was counterfeit goods that they were doing. They did them in a really, they were done very well. You know, they didn't sort of fall apart after you wore them a couple of times. I think I had a Citizen watch. So rather than get a fake Rolex that everyone knows is fake, I thought, well, it's a Citizen, so people aren't going to think you're going to fake that, are you? And that lasted quite a while, as I recall. So anyway, let's go over to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website, see what's happening over there. So he has got a video on these flock cameras. It's called The Evolution of Flock Cameras in the United States from January 2024 to July 2026. And that's only 21 seconds by the looks of it. It's a Rumble video, so I'm sure you'll have time to look at that. And he's got a few links from the 19th, from July the 17th. You've got The World is a Business scene from Network. So there you go. And that is the scene I think I saw with Ned Beatty in it. And he's a fantastic actor. So that's there. And let's go over to beforeitsnews.com. And we'll close the show out with the Before It's News Top 10. So let's see what we've got here as it loads up. Scroll down. Number 10. Went up 14 hours ago, 50 people viewing. Dr. Jim Willey, high alert, 7/19/26. Faith over fear, it's all set. Number 9 went up a day ago, 50 people viewing again. News treason, declass the 2020 Rubicon, 7/19/26. Q Intel, Israel Epstein model, TWA 800 resurfaces. Number 8. Went up 3 days ago, 52 people viewing. Kim Gogwan, full situation update, 7/17/2026, what nobody is talking about. Number 7 went up 12 hours ago, 57 people viewing. Origins of the Ashkenazi Jews, brackets video. Number 6 went up 2 days ago, 66 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and David Nino Rodriguez, 7/18/26, millions gone, millions dead. Number 5 went up 14 hours ago, 76 people viewing. All hell just broke loose. Number 4 went up 8 hours ago, 138 people viewing. X22 report, Trump pushed the DS/Ds in defending rigged elections and China game theory. On that note, very quickly, Trump was accusing China of meddling in elections in that speech last week. Well, around the time that was going on, Britain has renationalised British Steel that they had sold to a Chinese company. And now China has been complaining about that, saying that they're going to take legal action because that's theirs and they paid for it, what have you. And I just sort of put the two and two together. I thought, are we starting to see excuses being put in front of us for a war with China? Well, you know, they fell out with the UK because the UK stole their British steel business, and they fell out with America because America accused them of meddling in their election, stuff like that. Just joined a couple of dots there, and I might not have come to a truthful conclusion, but it's certainly, as Daryl Bradford Smith would say, things that make you go, hmm. Okay, so let's go to number three. Went up 5 hours ago, 166 people viewing. Byington bombshell report, AMA threatened doctors with court, loss of licence if they revealed medbed. Yeah, medbeds are supposed to be something that you lie in and they completely heal you. I mean, that really does sound like science fiction to me. That's beyond my conspiratorial reach, I'm afraid to say. Number two went up 10 hours ago, 178 people viewing. Cliff High breaking alert, 7/20/26, the greatest lie ever told. And number one went up 8 hours ago, 264 people viewing. Judy Byington, Juan O'Savin and Ricardo Bossi, shocking intel, 7/20/26. Obama files exposed, it should say, but it says exosed. So looking at this, none of them really encourage me to listen, but these are all shows of some sort or another, so maybe I'll have a deeper dive into Before It's News. I remember Robert Ravel, I think it was, saying, look, if you just have a look round Before It's News rather than just look at the top 50 which are listed on the front page, you can find some interesting things on there. So this is another thing that might be worth looking at if I really bear little fruit on these researches into the radio networks I mentioned earlier. Have to start delving deeper into here to try and find some, you know, content like the Monday show with Jeff Rentz that I always listen to, or the Mark Collett Monday with Patrick Slattery, or the Friday he does with Mark Dankoff. Different, just a couple of examples of the many shows I listen to each week, but there's always time for more. Okay, so that being said, just a reminder that this show I'm talking to you is not scheduled to be back until next Wednesday, so 9 days' time, but you never know what might happen. So let's play the closing music. I want to thank you for joining me for I'm Talking to You, episode 272, Apparently Men Walked on the Moon 57 Years Ago Today. I should be back with Peter tomorrow, and until then, folks, thank you for listening, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.